You have to excuse me, I'm trying to get this thing buttoned. I'm having a hard time. It doesn't have anything to do with my weight. I really don't. It's this thing here. That is big. I told Brother Wayne, I said, y'all don't want anybody carrying that off, do you? That is huge. It's like carrying a coconut around with you. You can't miss it. No, that thing's big, but the yeah, you got a taser. You get so far away from that and it zaps you. That's what it is. We brought three messages so far. Well, we brought two on our devotion, and I hope that was a blessing to you, and one on our work. So we've talked about our private devotion to the Lord, about our public work, and this morning I want to talk about our worship, I believe you'll find that our worship is definitely directly connected to our devotion. And I think we need to understand that. A lot of times, what we find to be true is that our worship isn't what it ought to be is because our devotion isn't what it ought to be. And people are going around and trying to find a place of worship, and they're not really finding what they want. And that's because they don't have the right kind of devotion with the Lord. See, when you're walking with the Lord and being with Him and understanding the things that we've talked about lately, you know, it will help you in your worship, to know where to worship and know how to worship, all of those things. We want to talk about our worship this morning. In John chapter 4 and verse 23 and verse 24, we'll just read two verses there. We're not going to look at the whole context of the story there at the woman at the well. We just want to start off with a springboard from verse 23 and 24. Jesus says, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers..." So those are false worshipers. And he says, why would he say true worshipers? That means there's false worshipers. "For the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him." And we don't really think about that too much, do we? The Father seeketh such to worship Him. So God desires our worship. God desires our worship. Now He don't need us, but He desires our worship. The Father seeketh such to worship Him. "God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we ask that You would bless in the message today. Lord, help me in the delivery of it. Lord, help me to be removed from it. And Lord, may You be clearly seen, and may it encourage the hearts of Your people today. Lord, at each and every time they go to Your house, that they would go for the purpose of worship and exaltation of You. In Jesus' name, and amen. In today's Christianity, worship is not very God-centered. It is very man-centered, and we've really got to be careful of that. It's got to be all about the Lord. There's a common assumption in houses of worship today that worship is for us to meet our needs. And so we have the seeker, you know, church movement, you know, churches being what the people need and so forth. Such worship services are usually entertainment-focused, and the worshipers are uncommitted spectators who are silently grading the performance. Now, Hughes, in the book that I had read some time ago, I told you about, he said this. He said, from this perspective that we're talking about, he said, "Preaching becomes a homiletics of consensus, preaching to felt needs, man's conscious agenda instead of God's. Biblical information is minimized, and the sermons are short and full of stories. Anything and everything that is suspected of making the marginal attender uncomfortable is removed from the service. Everything is judged by how it affects man." And you know, that's how a lot of people judge their services. How did it affect me? If you don't like what went on and it didn't affect you in the right way you wanted it to affect you, then you go somewhere else. The question needs to be asked is, when we talk to people, you know, and maybe they come and they visit, the thing we shouldn't really be asking them is what did you think of the service today? Now, you might ask them about so far, what did you think about the message, you know? What did you get out of the message? That's what I'm talking about. But as far as the overall service, you know, it's like many churches want to make sure they have the kind of service that just makes everybody happy. Now, the real question needs to be, in our minds, what did God think of it? What did God think of the service and of those who worshiped in the service? Worship must not begin with man as its focus, but must be about God. Now, the primary focus of coming together in the house of the Lord is to worship God. You know, there's been many different routes that churches have taken that have really led away from this. You know, there's many churches today that are only about certain aspects of Christianity. And we need a balance. What do I mean by that? Well, that there's some churches that only have evangelical services. I mean, that's all they offer. I mean, every sermon's going to be an evangelical sermon, a preaching of the gospel to the lost, and it's always about, you know, seeing people saved. Listen, that's not the right route. And the services cannot be all about that. Then there's people who just want instructional teaching. There's nothing really about, you know, God, the exaltation of Christ, and any kind of doctrine of some kinds, but just really instructional teaching, you know, how I think and the things I do, and just practical things. Well, you know, we need both. We need both. But we need all of it. We need all of it. We need a good balance in all of that. But our worship, the focus of it must be the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of the Word of God. Worship must needs be about coming into the presence of God, the Holy One, the Righteous Branch, the Prince of Peace, the Christ, the Alpha and Omega, and giving Him all the glory in the service. Say, well, what about church then? I mean, what about my needs? I mean, we're there to worship the Lord and focus on Him. What about my needs in worship? You know, that's what people primarily think about when they're going to look for a church. What does that church have for me? How can it benefit me? What does it have for my kids? What can it do for my needs that I have? Listen, I believe this. When we truly worship God and truly adore and magnify Him in the services, then our souls will be lifted up because we have lifted Christ. You see, that's the desire that God has placed within His people. They have a desire to magnify Christ. And whenever Christ is magnified, when Christ is glorified, that will please and meet the need of God's people. Because their desire is the desire of John the Baptist. He must increase and I must decrease. And as we see Christ increase and the focus of the services on the worship of Christ, that pleases the heart of God's people. Because that's our desire, is to bring all glory and focus and attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are at our happiest when Christ is increased. And our needs will be met as we seek to worship the Lord Jesus. You know, in pleasing the Lord, that meets our needs. We are one with Christ. You know, it's again, and so much of our relationship to God is a reflection of our relationship in our marriages. You know, as we please one another, as you seek to please your wife or you seek to please your husband, you know, you are in a sense meeting your own needs. Because if they're happy, that ought to make you happy because you love them. And that's the same way with the child of God. As you please the Lord and honor Him and please and all of those things in worship, that pleases you because you love the Lord and you're doing what pleases Him. Now, I won't spend long on this first point. I'm going to try to be brief this morning. But first of all, worship is a divine priority. It ought to be a divine priority in our life. I believe that worship is extremely vital to every aspect of our Christian walk. You know, people quit going to worship because they get away from the Lord. But you know what? People get away from the Lord sometimes because they get away from worship. I believe that thing works both ways. And you make that first decision, you know, to not go to the house of God and start not being attentive on the Lord's day and start missing the house of the Lord, you're going to get away from the Lord. Now, you must have got a little bit away from Him in order to make that kind of a decision, but you will definitely get farther away from Him after you make that decision. I heard on the radio several weeks back that the church's top priority, the church itself as a collective body, its top priority was to work. Now, you know what I think about work? You got to work. And I sat there and I listened to that. Man, that just sounded so good. That sounded so good. Then after a while, I thought, I just can't accept that. I mean, good instruction and all of that. And that all sounded good and admirable and all of that. But I believe the top priority is maintaining a God-centered worship. And then I believe that will result in a God-centered work. If I believe that when our worship of God has top priority, then that will help us as a church to keep everything else in perspective. When our worship is totally focused on Him, then our life will reflect that in our work. I believe that Jesus put a priority on worship above work. I'm not going to have you turn there, but you know the story of Martha and Mary in Luke 10, verse 38 through 42. I believe He put a priority on worship. She had chosen, you know, the better at sitting at the feet of Christ rather than work. And not that the work was insignificant, not that the work that Martha was doing, you know, was insignificant. But you know what? God put a priority upon worship. If sitting at Jesus' feet and adoring Him and taking in His Word had priority over Martha's serving, then it ought to have priority over ours as well. You know, I just really wonder how many people, you know, have really gotten burned out in the ministry. I mean, it happens all the time where they get so involved in just doing and doing and doing. You know, they're not worshiping. They're not just sitting at the feet of Christ. And that can happen as you get busy in the ministry. I've done that. I've been there. And you know what? You got to be careful because God wants us to worship Him and He wants us to serve Him in the spirit of worship. In other words, we're not just doing, but He wants us to serve Him in the spirit of worship. We're serving Him with the motive of exalting the Lord in our service. And when we lose focus of that, you know, we're not pleasing the Lord in our worship, in our service. The worship of God should have priority in everything about us, in all of our life. And I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning, I realize this, but it should have priority over everything in our life, over our TV shows, our ball games, our hobbies, other relationships. And it needs priority over everything. I want to have you turn there as well, but in Hebrews 10, we know the command in verse 25, to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But if you go on and read right after that, you know, he talks about, and Jim read it last night, that's why I'm not going to turn there, but you know, he talks right after that about those that sin willfully, after they receive the knowledge of the truth, they trample underfoot the blood of the Son of God. I mean, that's a serious offense, and you look at the context. I mean, does everybody not know? See, it's the sin willfully. I've heard people say, well, every sin is willful sin. No, it's not. And it gives a context there. If we sin willfully, after that, we have received the knowledge. There's a sin of ignorance. You just didn't really know no better. But there's a willful sin where you knew better, knowledge was present, and you disobeyed. How many of God's people know they're supposed to be in God's house? I would say everyone. I mean, maybe if not, I mean, the new Christians maybe haven't been taught that, but if you've been saved any time at all, you know you're supposed to be in God's house. So every time you choose, deliberately, not providentially hindered, to not go to the Lord's Day. There's a Lord's Day. It's there. And you just say, I'm not going. That's a willful sin. You'll answer for that. Now, so I think it shows a top priority there and how serious it is to deliberately not attend. Now, secondly, worship is a priority because of God's presence. You know, that's why I should have priority in our life. Not because a preacher has just said, boy, if you miss church, I mean, you're trampling the foot of the Son of God. That's not why I should have priority. Now that should give you a little bit of fear, godly fear, you know, about the seriousness of making the wrong decision. But the reason you should want to go is because Christ is going to meet with you. The reason you should want to be in the house of the Lord is because you're going to meet with the Lord. And you want to be in His presence. We know and understand that God is omnipresent, that He's everywhere. We know that He has promised to never leave us or forsake us. But He has promised us in Matthew 18:20 that as we gather in His name, that He's going to be there with us. We find Him in Revelation that He walks in the midst of His churches there. And there was only one church that He wasn't in the midst of. It was the church of Laodicea, wasn't it? It was a church, but He wasn't there. He was on the outside. And He was knocking. Trying to get in, if you would. I think I can say He's knocking. Asking to get in. If any man will open up, I will come in and sup with him. But you know what? Jesus was on the outside. Listen, some are so comfortable with all this world's goods, just like the church of Laodicea and materials, they're so comfortable with that, that they can go to church and they can supposedly worship and not even know that Jesus wasn't there. I mean, how many places is that happening in? Because the worship is so man-centered and it's so entertainment-centered and all of these things are going on and Christ is not even there and they don't even know it. Well, that's scary to me to think that a church can come together and Jesus not be there and nobody even miss Him. Then we'll miss other people that aren't there, you know. Oh, so, where's so-and-so at? Where are they at? They're not here today. I wonder what happened to them, you know. And we get so concerned about certain people not being here, I wonder if we're as concerned about Jesus being here. We need to be. Now, if worship is about meeting with the Lord, then the worship of God in God's house should have priority. If it doesn't, then you are putting those things above God, just as Jim had mentioned yesterday, and committing idolatry. You know, any time you choose something before God, that is idolatry. You know, a lot of times people talk, you know, about spiritual adultery, and what is that? Well, say, well, spiritual adultery is just when you go to church, it isn't a sound church. No, it's not. It's a whole lot more than that. You can commit spiritual adultery while you're in church. In a good, sound, Bible-preaching church, you can commit spiritual adultery. Amen. Right in the middle of it. Now, did I say that out of turn? Was that right? I believe it was. Amen. You know, Jesus said what? If you look upon a woman with lust in your heart, you have committed adultery with her in your heart. You can be looking right your wife right in the eye, walking, holding hands with her, and if you're thinking about another woman, you've committed adultery in your heart. You can be right here in services. I mean, everything looks fine on the outside, but your heart isn't here. It's somewhere else. God wants more than your bodily presence. He wants your heart as well. Amen. He wants your heart as well. You can commit spiritual adultery while we're right here. And we need to understand that. Friendship with the world. You know, the context of spiritual adultery was having friendship with the world in James chapter 3 or 4, wherever that is. Know ye not that the friendship with the world is an enmity with God? And He calls them, are ye adulterers and adulterers. And you know, that's what we got to realize. We being too close to the world rather than God. See, you putting friends, putting other people before the Lord. And you know, that's just all part of our worship. Because whenever we come in here, our focus, our attention needs to be on the Lord. And we can put other people, other things ahead of the worship of the Lord. You can't put God's house as second to worldly activity and have God as number one. You know, your children know what you're doing if you put the things of the world before God's house. They see your priorities. That's always scary to me when parents deliberately choose, you know, to let their kids, you know, stay out for ball games. I mean, they got practice tonight. I mean, you know, and all these things, when they deliberately choose that, their children see that, and they're teaching their children what's more important. And you see it all the time, like, boy, this is scary. You're teaching your children to put those things before God. Now, I want to get into some practical things about our preparation of worship. How often when we're going to church, when you're coming in this morning, or or when you come to the Lord's house on the Lord's day, how often do you really think about, I need to prepare myself? And when we think about, oh, we need to get ready for church. And so, we put on our shoes, and we get dressed up and all that. We need to get ready for church. When we think about getting ready for church, do we ever think about our hearts? Do we ever think about our minds? Do we think about those things? Or is it only the physical? Well, we got to get ready for church, and so we got to do this, got to work this, got to do this, and we're not really preparing ourselves spiritually. I believe this has been a very neglected battle as a preparation for worship in most Christian homes and even in mine at times. It happens. In thinking about this, I've seen that there are some things that we could do in our home to help us to be prepared mentally and spiritually as we come to God's house. I just want to give you some practical things you can do to help prepare you for worship. These are simple, but sometimes we just forget to state them and we don't think about it. Going to bed early on Saturday nights. Yeah, that's just a practical one. Now, I'm not legalistic about this. Well, you've got to do this, but this is a practical thing to help prepare you for worship. Right. Now I've heard preachers say in Reformed Baptist circles, you're not to read the paper on Sunday, you're not to be with your wife on Sunday. I mean, I've heard them get really descriptive about what you can't do, and to me, that's going overboard. That's taking things out of context. But you know what? But there is some practical principles that we can apply to our life, and I'm not saying it must be this way, but you need to think about these things because this might help you in your worship because it's helping you physically. Because see, when we help ourselves physically sometimes, we can focus more on the spiritual. There's some practical things, and some of you probably already do this. But it's a bad habit sometimes with teenagers, staying up late on Saturday nights and they go to church the next morning and they sit there and they're doing this. It's hard to worship like that, isn't it? It's hard to worship when you're physically exhausted because you stayed up late the night before. See, you're not thinking about worship the night before. I really believe it's one of the reasons why that God set it up, the Sabbath, was from 6 in the evening to 6 in the evening. You know why? Because it gave you time the evening before to really think, about the next day, what was going to happen. And I just think that's a good principle, Hey, go to bed early. Be prepared for the next day. Laying your clothes out, the night before. I'm bad about this, 15 minutes before we get ready to leave. Hey, can you iron this? I did that to Marie this morning. And, it's just practical things like that because, you're trying to get your mind on the Lord and so forth, and just practical things like that. Already knowing your dinner plans, for after church, and so you're not having to think about that real hard on Sunday mornings while you're trying to go out the door. Just different things like that. Having crock pot meals on Sunday so you won't have to work hard when you get home. I just say those things are affect our worship. I think they do because you get your mind. See, you're coming here, you're trying to get your mind on the Lord, and your mind's on, oh man, I got to do this when I leave. I got to do this when I leave to get this ready and do that. It does affect your worship. And so we're just trying to. There's just some practical things that maybe you can think of. Other maybe some other ideas you can think about that can help us with our worship. Or did we pray? I mean, we got our bodies ready. We washed, we showered, we cleaned our bodies. Hopefully, we came prepared. But did we prepare our minds? Did we clean our minds? Did we pray for the service? It's Sunday morning when we go to church. So we probably didn't think about reading our Bible, did we? I mean, we're going to go to church anyway. We're going to go to church, we're going to hear the Bible. So, I really don't need to get up this morning and read. Did you ever think about preparing your mind to come to worship? Say, well, I'm going to hear the Bible at church, so Sunday morning I'm just going to relax and drink coffee, read the paper all morning, and I might be able to watch a little something on TV this morning, take it easy, and then we'll go to church in a little bit and I'll hear the Bible then. Think about worship. Think about, get your mind on the Lord. Get your mind on His Word. See, I find this is a problem even for myself as a preacher, And I got to be careful of this because on Sunday mornings or even preaching this week, that the temptation is there to just, go over your message, make sure you got your message lined out, that you're ready to preach. But you know what I need to do? I need to read too. I just need to read, get my mind on the Lord. That's usually what I try to do first, you know. I try to just read some passages and think about the Lord, get my mind on the Lord. Then I go over my message. And you know what? We need to do that as we come to church and not just, you know, say, well, he's going to have the Bible out anyway there, so we don't have to open it up beforehand. We need to get up in plenty of time so as we are able to spiritually get ourselves ready. And look, that's hard when you got kids in the house, isn't it? Boy, it's hard. When you got four little ones, and thankfully ours are getting a lot bigger where they can usually get themselves ready, and as long as you remind them to take their showers, you know, they do pretty good. We need to equip ourselves mentally and physically so that we can really focus spiritually. And some preparations we can take, not letting the physical things get in our way. What you will find is that the more you put into getting ready for worship and preparing yourself for worship, the more you will find that you're getting out of it. You know, I wonder, how is it that 50 people can come to church or 100 people can come to church, you know, and 40% of them or 50% of them are like, man, the services were good, the Lord was here, and boy, I just enjoyed the services so much, and man, it was great, and then the other 50% are like, you could tell, you know, they didn't know what was going on. I think some prepared themselves and some didn't. Some prepared themselves and some didn't. How can half be one way and half the other way? I mean, how can that happen? That's the only logical answer I can give. Those people who don't prepare to meet with God and they just show up, they plot themselves down and challenge the preacher to bless them today, you know. You know, they will always find fault with something. They'll find fault with something in the songs. They'll find fault with something somebody prayed for. They'll find fault with something the preacher said. He preached too long. I mean, he never preaches too short, but he preaches too long. You know, he didn't say something right. You know, he said a word wrong. Just always trying to find fault. Not really focusing on the Lord. They're focusing on everything else but Him. Our focus is not about ourselves being blessed. That's not our focus. Our focus is not about ourselves being blessed. It's about blessing the Lord. And that takes time to prepare. Turn to Hebrews 10:22. We'll read a verse there. I noticed that I don't believe Jim read that one yesterday, so we're going to turn and read that. Hebrews 10:22. I believe we have a short order here. For getting ready for worship. He says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. I see, first of all, we need a true heart. In other words, we need to come honestly before the Lord, not having anything to hide, and worship in truth as taught there in John 4 where we started beginning. We come and worship without pretensions. I mean, we come openly and worship before God. Nothing to hide. He says, in full assurance of faith, we come in faith without doubt. We come before the Lord and just worship the Lord by faith in His Word and laying hold of it and looking towards Christ. We come with a clear conscience, our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. I mean, we should have our hearts prepared, our minds asking for forgiveness of sins and saying, Lord, is there anything in my life right now that would hinder me from worshiping You and hearing what You've got to say to me today? And our bodies washed with pure water. This doesn't mean take a bath, but you know what? It might help. It might help the person in front of you to focus on the Lord. I mean, if you're sitting there in the pew and you stink, I mean, it might help. It might keep the person beside you or behind you from worshiping the Lord. I mean, because they're going to have their mind on, you know, you. Because you smell. You know, so you need to take a bath. See, the kids are listening. Don't you love that? but this is talking about having our bodies washed with pure water. This is talking about physical purity. Physical purity. Listen, you can't be out of fellowship with God and being involved in sins of the flesh and think you can just come on in here and plop down and worship the Lord. I mean, He wants your mind and He wants your life. He wants it all. He wants every bit of it to be engaged. And we can't come in and worship God in spirit when our bodies are filthy with the sin we've just been engaged in the night before. It can't happen.
Amen.
We come not to be blessed, but to be a blessing to the Lord, to honor Him, and to be an encouragement to God's people. Verse 24 says, "Let us consider one another, provoking to love and to good works." You know, when people forsake God's house, it's not just they failed to worship the Lord, they failed to be an encouragement to other people. They failed. I mean, how many times do churches get discouraged because people don't come? And it discourages them. And you know, so you're not only just hurting yourself, you're offending the Lord, you're sinning against Him, and you're hurting other people too, right along with your non-attendance. I know I'm preaching a choir this morning. This is a Thursday morning, you know. But hopefully it'll stay with us. So then we come because the worship of God is important. It has priority. We come knowing that we are going to meet with the Lord, and we come prepared mentally and spiritually. And we come. We come to meet God. We're ready. We come prepared for worship. It's a priority in our life. Then I believe we can come and truly worship with expectancy. I believe when we come to worship, we can expect things. If we've come in that manner, we've come prepared. We've come to meet with the Lord. I mean, we're ready. When we come down to focus on Christ, I think we can worship with expectancy. I believe we ought to be able to expect great things from the worship services. I think we ought to be able to expect that. We come prepared to magnify Christ, and we have to expect some things to happen as a result of that. And here's some things I believe that will happen. The house of God will be a place of joy. Psalm 16:11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand, they are pleasures forevermore." I mean, when the people of God are come prepared to worship, the house of God will be a place of joy, a place of pleasure. The house of God will be a place of healing as a comforter meets with us, a place of instruction as the Spirit teaches us, a place of freedom where the Spirit of the Lord is there at liberty, and a place where sinners find a refuge because the gospel is upheld. I mean, we'll see the Lord working in these manners. You know, when you're in the presence of the Lord, He's meeting all of our needs, isn't He? When we truly come to worship. And that's what is so great, is because you got people coming, they're worship, I mean, they're coming prepared, but one's coming, and boy, they're just really needing God to speak to them and instruct them on something, and God meets them, meets that need. They come and they're brokenhearted, they're down, and you know what? They come really to worship the Lord, and you know what? God meets that need. You know, they come. And they have felt bondage to their life. You know, job was rough this week, and boy, they just felt so strapped, and they come to the house, and they've come to the house of the Lord ready to worship, and you know what? Boy, they got the house of the Lord just so much freedom just getting to worship the Lord today. You see, I believe that when we put God first, we focus on Him and worshiping Him as a child of God. Let me tell you, when we come prepared for worship, our needs will be met. God will meet us right where He needs to meet us. Now, sometimes we think we need something. And that's not what God gives us. But God knows what we need. And that's how we ought to come. Lord, You know what I need today. I'm coming to worship You, exalt You, focus on You. I prepared my mind, my life. I'm focused on You. Lord, what is it I need? What is it I need? As I exalt You today, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me through the services, through the songs, through the prayers, through the preaching. Meet me, Lord, what I need. You know what I need, Lord. And you know what? I believe You always get it. I really do. I mean, if a church is trying to do things right and do things the Bible way, and the man of God's preaching the Word of God, as I know what happens here, you're going to find it's always going to be that way. The more we come to really worship God and to give Him thanks and praise, to exalt Him, focus on Him, giving Him glory, I believe we'll see God do greater things in our worship services, in our hearts and the hearts of others. By way of conclusion, we have a command over and over and over and over again. It's such a beautiful command. Look it up. It's in there. I don't know how many times it is. I'm not for sure. But you can find it over and over again. It says, there's two words. Worship God. I love that command. Isn't that a good one? Let us come to God's house ready to do just that each and every time we go. Make the worship of God a top priority in our life. And as we come to God's house, let's be prepared, and let's not just be a spectator and judge what we thought about the services. I remember a lady that did that, and she graded all the preachers. I don't care if she ever hears this. It don't bother me. Put it on the internet. But she would always grade the preachers, you know, from 1 to 10. You know, we go to Bible conferences, and she'd have a number for them, and she'd tell us why they weren't a 10. I only remember one guy ever getting a 10, but she never told me I was a 10. She was a spectator. A judge is what she was. She wasn't there for worship. Let's turn to Proverbs 11. We're going to close with that. I had several scriptures that we could have looked at. I mentioned several, but just for the sake of time, I didn't want to turn there. I think most of them you're familiar with. I did want to turn to this one, though, Proverbs 11. Maybe we don't think about this in worship, but I want you to consider these verses for worship. Proverbs 11, verse 24. You know, we come to the services, you know, and we just expect them to receive. You know what the Bible says about that? It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And so we ought to be happiest when we're giving to the Lord. But notice here in Proverbs 11, 24, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. I like it about our worship. You're coming here scattering your worship. You know, you're giving it out and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet. Are you holding back on the Lord? But it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul, and this is the only time you ever find in all of history, you know, the word liberal is a good word. The liberal soul shall be made fat. We have some liberal people in here, don't we? I'm one of them. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Think about these verses in worship. You come in to give, you see. You know what? You come in to give, you receive. The Lord blesses. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. Are you paying your tithe? Are you giving your all? But blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. I mean, when you really want to give, I mean, so God blesses you. God blesses you when you come in the Spirit to give, not just to receive. Oh, you'll receive, but I believe that God wants us to give first. As we come ready to give to the Lord, we will receive of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and I pray that you just bless it. Help us, Lord, as your people. And each and every time, God, we go to your house, we will be ready to give you honor and praise and glory. Help us to be prepared. Help us to just do practical things we need to do in order to be ready for worship, to get our minds on worship and our hearts prepared. Help us not to be overly occupied with the physical things, Lord, that may be involved in the day that we go to the house of God, that we might truly focus on yielding you our hearts, our minds, and our bodies, giving you our all. And we know, Lord, that as we come and we give our worship, Lord, we will receive of you all that we need. In Christ's name we pray, and amen. Brother Wayne.